last week we looked at, actually the text before this, we looked at pursuing spiritual wealth. It's so easy in our day and age in which we live to focus on material things. And then we're keeping proper perspective, how we view the world and how we view finances. And then lastly, we talked about being devoted to God. Now, this text, as I said, is, I've studied it before and I've done it before, but I really got much more out of it this time. Maybe partly because a lot of the pressure is off and I can study in decent. But anyway, I want to make some observations, some beginning observations about these verses. First of all, there are 8 questions asked, which are rabbinical practice. That's what rabbis did back in the day. Master, how far is it? Or how far is it to here? And Jesus would say, I don't know, how far is it? He would turn the question back so that the individual had to answer it. It was also a way of getting to a point to make the person think about it. So there's 8 questions. There's also, which I think is significant, 6 times the word anxious is used. When you look at the Bible as a whole, it's used 13 times. So what that says to me is almost half of the references to the word anxious are used in these verses. And for preaching purposes, that is significant. That is huge. When you have a text where almost half of the times that the word occurs, and it occurs in the text you are preaching, it's trying to drive home a point. There are 2 illustrations. There's birds and lilies. I'll talk about those in just a few minutes, the birds and the lilies. Like a parable, I think, there's 1 solution given. Obviously, this is a narrative text, but actually, I look at it more as a proverb because it has a feel of the Proverbs, but like a parable, the stories that Jesus would tell, a man had 2 sons, there's generally only 1 point to it. And he drives down to 1 point here. So let's look at what Jesus tells us today. First of all, he tells us, don't worry about our basic needs, or don't fret over our basic needs. And he starts with illustration. There's actually 2 illustrations. We'll talk about those as we go along. Now notice he says, therefore, that is going back to what he said before. No one can serve 2 masters, for either you hate the one and love the other, you'd be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So therefore, based on that, based on getting our eyes off the things of this world and on the things of God, therefore, the logical conclusion is, I tell you, or in the Hebrew or the Greek means, I say to you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, or nor about the body what you shall put on. Anxious, this is an interesting definition of the word anxious. I'm just taking it right out of the Greek. It means to be worried about possible danger or misfortune. In other words, it has the idea of thinking ahead at all of the possibilities that could go wrong. So if your finances are kind of low and you're going through hardships, you go, what if this happens? What if this happens? It's thinking ahead to something that could possibly befall you. And this is generally what it will do in the life of an individual. By the way, if you are thinking constantly at night when you go to bed and you're thinking constantly about this problem, it's going to work on you. And by the way, it can cause you to lose sleep. It can cause you to be depressed. All of these things. And Jesus says, I don't want you to live like this. I don't want you to not be able to sleep. I don't want you to not be able to trust me. I don't want you to. And so he's saying, do not be anxious. You're either going to serve me or you're going to serve money. And if you serve money, that's not what I'm about. And so naturally, Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious about your life. By the way, there's 3 needs that are brought up here. There is eating, drinking, and clothing. As believers, we should never worry about these things. And Jesus uses it 6 times here in these verses to stress this point, that we do not worry about where our next meal is coming from. You say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, I don't say it. Jesus does. And then he says this. Notice verse 25 also. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Life means the essence. Our thoughts, how we view things, is not the inward person, is not who you are as an individual more than food. That is what we eat, nourishment. Do you remember what Jesus once said? It's not what goes in the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth. Jesus is more concerned here about what is inward. We're so focused on the external and what we see and what other people have. And he says, is not life, is not the internal part of the individual more important than food, what you put in? And then he goes and he talks about the outward, and he says, and the body more than clothing, physical. The Greek word there means apparel. And of course, we're reminded of Jesus' words, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then Jesus says, okay, we're going to look at this in real time. Notice what he says. Look at the birds of the air. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Birds of the air. I bet you, and I'm pretty convinced because I've seen the way that as you go through the Gospels and you look at Jesus' teaching and preaching, I am guaranteeing that when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, that there were birds in the area where Jesus said, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. Look at those little guys. Have you ever seen a bird go to work to earn money? They get fed. Now think about the birds that fall to the ground. Even God knows about those. He cares about those things. But listen to what Jesus says, because it really anticipates a yes response. Listen to what he says. Are you not of more value than they, or have more worth, if you want to put it that way? Jesus is expecting them to look at the birds. And he's expecting them, when they're looking at the birds, they go, that's God's creation. That's just right. We don't feed those birds. We don't take care of them. God does. So he is responding and looking at them and saying, now, you see the birds of the air? Do you think that you're more valuable than that? Well, the only response is yes. When we start talking about trusting God, it always, or at least some point, I don't want to say always, but there's always an element of value involved. Let me just tell you this. You are of great value to God. You have great value to God. He went to great lengths to redeem you. He went to the cross, suffered a horrible death on the cross to pay for your sin and mine and redeem us. You have great value. And Jesus asked them, are you not more have more value than they? And yet we spend our time chasing things that have no heavenly value. And Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. A second illustration that he uses to try to drive home this point, we're talking here about basic needs. And next week, and by the way, I've changed the series now from 4 sermons to 5 on anxiety, which really stresses me out, but we'll go ahead and do it anyway. Oh, big joke. The illustration. Look at the second illustration. And which one of you can, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? I think that's hyperbole. I think Jesus is making a little joke. Because you know what happens when you get anxious? If you live a life of anxiety and worry and fear, do you know what actually happens? You actually lose time off your life. It's not good for you. It causes high blood pressure. It causes all kinds of physical conditions. So Jesus said, can you add 1 hour by worrying about these things? Is it possible to do that? I like what Stuart Weber says in his commentary. If you are to try to take the basic provisions into your own hands, that's us, you will find that you do not have the power over life and death. Only God has this power. And he will sustain you as long as his plan intends. I am a firm believer that no person in the church should ever go without food. Our basic needs should be met. And you know how God chooses to meet that basic need sometimes? With the church. See, this is a body of Christ. We are believers. Nobody in this body of Christ should ever go home and be hungry. And if you are, you contact me or contact one of the deacons, and I guarantee you we will get you food. We're to take care of the widows. We're to take care of a lot of things. And I guarantee you, if there should be nobody in this church that goes hungry. There should be nobody in this church that doesn't have enough clothes. And God uses the church to take care of those needs. We've kind of lost that. We don't need to go to these other organizations, and we can help each other, particularly on the basic needs. And why are you anxious about clothing? I love this part. This is awesome. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. King Solomon, we know about him. He was supposedly one of the wisest men in the world, and you read Ecclesiastes, and he just gave himself to all kinds of folly, and he had all kinds of money, had all kinds of wives. And Jesus is saying here, you know, you think about Solomon, they would have known Solomon. That would have been a household name like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would have known Solomon. And Jesus says, look. So I think what is happening here is that Jesus is now, he said, look at the birds of the air. And I think he was probably on some hillside there in Palestine. And he said, by the way, look at the lilies of the field. He's using these images to make a point. By the way, there's 13 different lilies associated with Palestine, and depending on what time of the year it is, you get a different lily or a different variety of lily. I'm taking a shot at this because this is one of the most beautiful lilies that they have over there. And you could just see an entire field of lilies, and you would think, wow, that those lilies are covering the grass. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But Jesus is using two illustrations here to get to this point. But trust God to provide. And he goes into faith. Now watch what he says in verse 30. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, watch this. This is awesome. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? I want you to think about this for a minute. You have a field here that Jesus is pointing to. Do you know the lilies are actually, in Jesus' mind, covering the grass? Do you know how many blades of grass there are in a mile? Thousands and thousands of blades of grass. And yet Jesus said God clothes them. He meets their needs. Listen, I've had to ask to me, I've had people ask me as a pastor, how does God take care of everybody? Bam. Jesus could have used different words here. He could have used different words, but he said, so clothe the grass with the lilies. There are thousands of pieces of grass in this field, so to speak, maybe millions, and yet God clothes each one of them. Listen, you are one of many that God can take care of. God is not limited in space and time, so we're talking about a God who has the resources to meet everybody's needs. And there's thousands of believers that God can meet their needs. That's what makes him God. I think Jesus had a point here. He was saying, look at how I cover the grass. Will I not cover you? Will I not take care of your needs? God has, would you agree with me? God has all the resources available to take care of little old you. He giving them a perfect illustration here of this field that would be covered with lilies, the grass covered with lilies. He's taking care of them. And so this God, our God, is so awesome, and he reigns so majestically in heaven that he's able to take care of our needs. And you think, well, God doesn't really have time to worry about me. Yes, he does. He doesn't worry about you, but he takes care of you. And he can meet those needs. And it's just, I wrote this down. This might sound harsh, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it because I wrote it. I felt like God gave me that, and he gave me this. And I want us to let this marinate, because I'm going to read it twice. If you can't trust God to meet your basic needs, how can you trust him with your salvation? Let me say that again. If you can't trust God to meet your basic needs, how can you trust him with your salvation? I think that's right. I think that's right. I read the text a lot of times before, and I totally missed this part. And then God said, I want you to throw that on him. If you can't trust this God who we worship and praise to meet your basic everyday needs, how can we legitimately trust him with our salvation, which is of greater issue? I feel like I've become a Stuart Weber fan, but Stuart Weber says this. In this context, Jesus' tone, and it's the nuance of the language, in this context, Jesus' tone was not scolding, but coaxing and reasoning. He was asking, do you trust your Father or not? Not with a slap in the face, but with an arm around our shoulder. Jesus was not belittling his disciples. He was encouraging them upwards. The issue is, do we trust God or not? That's the real issue. And then he asked a series of questions. Therefore, do not be anxious, or I would say, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? What you say reveals something about the heart. Remember, it's not what goes in the body that defiles it. What defiles the man is what comes out. I'm going to give you some practical stuff here. I like my little bird up there. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Write that verse down. I want you to put it on a 3x5 card or whatever you need to do. I want you to put it down. My God, the God that you worship, the God of your salvation, the God of forgiveness, the God of love, the God of compassion, and my God will meet all your needs. You will have all of your needs met. No, I'm not talking health and wealth, prosperity gospel. I am talking about God will meet your needs. He will meet your physical needs. He will meet your spiritual needs. And he will meet your comfort needs, whatever those comforts are. And I'm talking about comforting the heart. God will meet your needs. I don't want you to live your life this week. I do not want you to live your life this week in fear of tomorrow. I do not want you to live your life in fear where you're up in bed at night and you can't sleep and you're tossing and turning thinking about how God's going to meet this need and how God's going to meet this need. Go back to the lilies of the field. Think about the grass that I talked about today, that God has all of the resources available to meet your needs. Is this helping? Because I want it to help. This isn't to hurt. This is to help. And I want you to trust God not only with your salvation, but with your life. And the little things of your life. God wants to meet those needs. And this is a... Do you guys believe this? Do you guys and gals believe this? Then we have to claim it. And it's on the rock. And there's the bird to remind you. If you can draw the picture of the bird, draw it. This is what I want you to do. This is very practical stuff. When you start getting anxious about daily life, I want you to stop in the name. It's an old song. I want you to stop. I want you to think of this word stop. And this is what I want you to do. Number one, I want you to immediately go to Scripture. The verse I just gave you is an excellent verse. You can actually go through and read this again if you want to. But I want you to go to Scripture every time you start getting anxious about things. Then I want you to do this. I bet you know I'm working with T next, right? Like Mr. T. Scripture. And I want you to trust. I want you to just say, you know what? I see the situation. I understand the situation. It looks bleak, but I'm going to remember the birds of the air and the lily of the fields and how God covered them. And I am simply not going to allow Satan to cause me further and further anxiety in my life. I am not going to worry about this. I am going to trust God. That's what we need to do. We need to go to Scripture as soon as anxiety, get that Scripture out, read it, and I don't care if you have to read it 45 times before you're able to go to sleep. I want you to do that. I want you to read Scripture. I want you to trust. You look at the verse and you said, God said He would meet my needs. I am going to trust Him to meet that. Do you know how many times I stayed awake at night worrying about some of the basic stuff? That's crazy. Could say stop, drop, and roll, but that won't work in this case. Scripture, trust. And then I want you to offer praise to God. You think about this as an opportunity to praise God. That He's not gonna leave you. He's not gonna forsake you. Didn't Jesus say that? Stop worrying about the little things in this life. We got to get to the Scripture. We got to start developing trust in God, and we've got to offer praise. By the way, God inhabits the praise of His people. The last one, just pray. God, I know the situation looks really bleak right now, and Father, I don't know how I'm going to cover this, but You said You would meet all my needs, and I'm going to trust You, and God, I praise You because You're going to do this. And it's not a silly faith, Lord. I'm just going to trust You because You said You would take care of my basic needs. And so I'm trusting You. And these are the needs that I have. And let it go. You cannot add one more hour by worry. I understand that there's maybe physical problems sometimes when you go to sleep at night and you have trouble sleeping. I get that. But I don't want any of my members, my sheep, to go to bed and toss and turn over what God promised to take care of. And you know, Satan is so tricky. Do you know that? Satan is so tricky. And God gave me that. If you can't trust God to meet your basic needs, then how can you trust Him for salvation? That came from God. I'm just showing you that if He can take care of your salvation, you can trust Him with this. Think about those lilies in the field. God will take care of it. Please, as your pastor, I tell you, stop worrying about the little things. It will drive you crazy. And that's exactly what Satan wants, because what happens? Your focus is here, and then your focus is here. Please don't do it. If you're having trouble, call me. We'll pray about it. Whatever. But I don't want you worrying about it. Oh, and by the way, talking about our focus, Jesus comes back to the focus. Just focus on His kingdom. Just focus on His kingdom. For the Gentiles seek after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Two key points here. Notice He says, Gentiles seek after this. This is our culture. Millions and millions and millions of people in this world trust in themselves to meet all of their needs. My goodness, look at all this stuff. This is New York, one part of New York. Look at all this stuff. Plays, and there's nothing wrong with that coffee. I mean, it's just, it's, I doubt a lot of these people that walk the streets of New York praise God at all. Look at all the stuff. This is what the Gentiles seek after. The Gentiles seek about keeping up with the Joneses. The Gentiles seek, and I'm talking about Gentiles in a sense of lost people, pagan. So when we worry about these things and we do not focus on the kingdom, we are no better than our pagan culture. We are no better than those who pursue all the stuff that they pursue. They want to go up the ladder. They want to get the best job. And look, that's fine to do that. You can work to get ahead, but you got to keep perspective on things. You don't try to get ahead by stepping on other people. You don't try to get ahead by lying. You don't try to get ahead by cheating. You don't. If it's legitimately, you go to work, you do what you're supposed to, and you get a raise, praise God. But we don't seek after these things. We don't seek for the Rolls Royce. We don't seek for the Lexus. We don't seek for the big houses and all of those things. Because when you get those things, guess where your focus is? It is on those big things. And then most of your resources go to maintaining those things. You remember the big toys I talked about, the ski boats? And let me just say this. It's where the individual is. You remember last week I said the fastest way to look at your spiritual walk is where your checkbook is. That's where your heart will be. And Jesus is following us up. This is what the Gentiles seek. And the second thing that I think comes out of this. Now, you look at this. Now, does he say, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all? Did he say that? So if he says it several times here, I'm going to meet your needs and take care of it, don't leave like Gentiles. And then he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. If we continue to worry, this may be hard, okay. This is what you're really saying. God is not faithful. Jesus' question, do you trust God or not? God's either going to provide for you or he's not. We don't want to live here. This is not where we want to live. Am I telling you that if you just pray, God will give you $1 million? I don't know, but I'm not praying that way because I know the $1 million is going to have all kinds of problems with it too. You ever see these people that win the lottery? And then they're miserable. They're miserable. Don't seek after money, seek after God. Don't seek the things of this world. It's going to be burned up. If you've got money, give it away. Give it to people. Use it for God's kingdom and God's glory and God's purpose. Yeah, you need to have a retirement. I get that. I'm not telling you to drop your retirement and go do what, you know, give it to the... I'm not telling you to do that. What I am telling you to do is watch how you spend your money and who you trust. Last week we looked at money. This week we're talking about who we're going to trust. And if you can't serve God in money and you want to serve God, this is what it looks like. Serving God means trusting him and saying, yes, my God is faithful. It's a simple little thing Jesus is doing here. I read it. I think I read it. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all them. That's pretty clear. Now, that's the worldly way to live. Let's look at the godly way. You see where Jesus is driving this to? He's driving this to one singular moment. We've read it 100 times. I bet you most of us can quote it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Let's say that together on three. 1, 2, 3. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I texted Newt Larson this week, and Newt texted this back to me. He said, be sure to help them see what the kingdom is. This was on my phone. I don't have my phone with me because my wife's always on me about being on my phone, so I took my phone home. Be sure to help them see what the kingdom is. So many people think it's just about church work. If we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we'll be in church every day. Which, that's good. I don't have any problem with that. But that's not what he's talking about. Newt goes on to say, Pastor Newt goes on to say, but it's everything we do. See Romans 13. And then he added, very fine, Dr. Frazier. I like what Craig Bloomberg says in his commentary. When priorities regarding treasures in heaven and on earth are right, that is when we have the proper perspective, God will provide for the fundamental needs. Seeking first the righteousness of the kingdom implies obedience to the commands of Christ. Bingo. Because the Greek word righteousness means to do and act as God wills. To do and act as God wills. That's what it literally means in righteousness. I know we're thinking if we come to church, we sing a few hymns, we do this, and we go home. Uh-uh. No, this is about daily life. Newt's right. Pastor Newt's right. It is about daily life. It is about how, and if you are seeking, look at this. I want to give you a little picture. If you are seeking the kingdom, spiritual eyes up, are your spiritual eyes down here? No. Spiritual eyes up here. And what Jesus is telling me is, if I seek his kingdom, all of these needs down here, they're going to be met. So why would I spend 1 minute, and I'm a sinner in this area preaching to other sinners too. I want you to realize that. I've done it too. We've all been there. Every one of us in this room could say, been there, done that. Right? So I'm not talking about some high, mighty thing that I've done, because I do it too. Sometimes my eyes get back down. I don't want to give the impression that it doesn't. But I got so convicted this week about stopping it and quitting it based on what Jesus is telling us. This is really, seeking the kingdom means to be obedient. This is not about church stuff. This is about being obedient to God, doing what he tells us to do. That means that we live our lives doing what God told us to do. Most of you already know how to live. If you're a born-again believer, you know the right things to do, don't you? Is it nice to hit somebody? Mm-mm. Is it nice to cheat to get your way? Is it nice to lie? You don't have a need for me to give you some of the basic things that the scriptures tell you to do anyway. Love your neighbor. You guys know that stuff. You gals know this. He's not asking us to do something we don't already know. So what does God expect of us? Micah told us. Actually, one of the best verses, Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. If you were to do those three things this week, act justly, that means do things God's way, the right way, to love mercy in our relationships, and to walk humbly, that we're not the be-all and end-all of all things. That's just a little verse. And Jesus closes it out with this. This is the godly way to do it. Seek his kingdom, his righteousness. Jesus closes it out by saying this. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. I think this is what Jesus is really saying. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember anxiety and the word it stands all through this text, the same exact words, means to look ahead and ponder the possibilities of all the things that can go wrong. When actually the believer, all we have to do is just say, help me today, Lord. Just give me what I need today. Because if we're worried about today, and we're worried about tomorrow and we're worried about the next day, how can we possibly keep our focus on the kingdom? I mean, seriously, if we live our lives in fear and anxiety and worry all the time, how can there be any joy? How can there be any focus on the kingdom of God? Because this, most of the stuff that we worry about, he's already said that he'll take care of. I'm going to leave the altar open this morning. This is how we're going to do it. If you need Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can come forward. I'll pray with you. But I'm going to leave the altar open. And if you've got a burden on your heart, I want you today, as I've done in my office and other times, I just want you to bring it up here and just lay it on this altar. Whatever that weight is and whatever you've been worried about and hanging on to, just bring it up, and I want you to stop. Do you guys remember stop? Scripture, trust, offer praise, and pray. That's what I want you to do this week. I want you to come up here, and I want you to leave it at the altar. Just say, God, you know what? Thank you for speaking to me today. I'm going to drop this on the altar, and I'm going to let go. And when you get up, leave it. Just say, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I'm going to give it to him.